There's your topic for today, the Valley of Decision, which you probably say, oh no, here we go again. This is used quite a bit through the years. As we think about decisions, we all make them daily, but we want to talk about important decisions today. You know, it's important who you choose for your husband, your wife, you unmarried grandchildren, are y'all listening? Okay. That makes a lot of difference in the way you go. It's important on your job. It's important where you live. It's important what schools you go to. We can go on forever, but we're going to talk about the most important decisions that we'll make. We got this from Joel 3 and 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. We want you to understand today just how important it is for you to die a Christian. If you do not die as a Christian, your time here on the earth has been a horrible waste. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much anything you have. If you die and go to hell, your life has been a horrible waste. Flop. Do you understand? In Matthew 12 and 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not with me scattereth abroad. So I've drawn a line up here. You can't be in the middle. You either on or off. You're either yes or no. You're either black or white. There's no middle ground. Are you with the Lord or are you against him? So many people today, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but they live a worldly life. Well, let me tell you, when you're doing that, you're against the Lord, because he's told you what you need to do. In Matthew 27 and 22, Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather than a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. I've read this through a lot of years, and I thought, why didn't Pilate just say no? But pressure from the multitude, go ahead and crucify Jesus. But here's the key today. What about you? What are you saying to Jesus? Are you saying, just crucify him? We need to think on a personal level. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. So here's some things. Let's write that down. He said, life, death, blessing, cursing. I'm not an artist or a speller, so keep that in mind. He said, this day choose. So we can do this. Let's say yes and no. And the part I thought was interesting, choose life that both thou and thy seed shall live. Now, Sean sold this story, so I'll tell it not as good. Anyway, he talked about a young man named Dave Dukes. Now, Dave Dukes is Garland, Becky, and Beverage's granddad. And the rest of you, y'all figure it out so I won't get confused. He studied with a person close to Loco, Texas years ago, and he obeyed the gospel. Because of his life, there is 50, 60, 70 people that's living Christian lives. That's his seed. So let's reverse that. Let's say you say no, that you don't want to be a Christian. How does that affect your seed? How does that affect your children? How does it affect your great-grandchildren? How does it affect your great-great-great-great-grandchildren? How many people have you studied with, talked to today? Well, if it's good enough for Grandma and Grandpa, it's good enough for me. So we need to think about that. Joshua 24 and 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. That's the correct answer. That is the correct answer. I always loved it when I went to class and the teacher gave me the answer. Oh yeah, I can do this. Yes, I'm giving you the correct answer. 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long hath ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. You remember here how Elijah came and cried to the people because they was all worshiping Baal. And he said, okay, let's make a deal. That's not the exact words. But they built an altar and they took two bullocks, dressed them for the sacrifice, and they told these prophets of Baal to go out and cry to the Lord. Whichever sacrifice was consumed, that was really God. That was really a God. Well, the prophets of Baal, they cried, and the wood did not catch on fire. And Elijah was probably a smart aleck, a little bit like me. He said, hey, I bet your God's asleep. I bet he's running errands. I bet he's out doing things. So they cried even the more harder. Finally, they started cutting themselves with lances and knives and bleeding all over the place, trying to get their point across. That altar never caught a fire. So in the evening, Elijah says, okay, he fixed his altar, put rocks around it, and he says, take four barrels of water and drench it. He dug a little ditch around it too. They did that, and he said, now do it again. So there's eight barrels of water on the sacrifice. He prayed to the Lord, and fire came from the Lord, lipped up the sacrifice, burned it all up, even took up the water and the stones. So they decided then, right then, that the Lord thy God was the true and living God. This is the same one that I'm trying to tell you today to choose to follow after, that same Lord. In Deuteronomy 10 and 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve him, the Lord thy God, in all thy heart and all thy soul, to keep his commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, and all that therein is. So he's telling us to serve him. Love him. Do his commandments. He's telling us some things that we need to do to obey his commands. In Matthew 6 and 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We have to make a decision. What Jesus says, we have to make a decision. You can't be in the middle. It's not going to happen. It don't work that way. Revelation 3 and 16 answers that. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I can't write sideways. We can't be in the middle. It don't work that way. You just can't do it. You can't do it. So here we are. You have to be yes or no, on or off, black or white, however you want to call it. You have to make a decision. If you let me make the decision, I'll do it for you. That's easy. I can do that. That's a no-brainer on my part. I can do it. In 1 Timothy 6 and 9, but they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So when you choose the world, you end up with destruction. And sorrows. Or when you just don't make a choice to be a Christian, that's where you end up, right there. And that's what Jesus is telling us about to make the right decision. In Romans 6 and 16, know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey. He is servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, and being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So over here we're in sin. In obeying the gospel, you're in righteousness. And I think we all understand how we get there, but let's go through it right quickly. When we choose obedience to become a Christian, the plan is simple. It's not that hard. It's been around for years and years. In Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe in Jesus Christ. How hard is that? Second, in Luke 13 and 3 and 13 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. This means change. Don't live a sinful life anymore. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to live in sin. That's what that means. In Matthew 10 and 32 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will also confess before my Father which is in heaven. In Mark 16 and 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. So when you do all of this, and I'll abbreviate, hear, believe, repent, confess, baptized, that is salvation. That is salvation. That takes you from here to here. That's all there is to it. After that, yes, you got to follow in God's word. You have to grow, but we're going to get into that a little later, okay? Next, going back to what we read earlier, when Pilate said unto them, what shall we do with Jesus as is called Christ? And they said, let him be crucified. Let's look at some things that happened. Pilate said, I'm going to wash my hands of it. Don't blame me. The multitude want it. The Jews, they wanted him crucified. What are y'all doing today? Are y'all washing your hands of Jesus? Are you crucifying him again? Judas, 30 pieces of silver, and I'll go over here. 30 pieces of silver. And that's what he traded for. Peter, he said, I don't know him, and went to cursing and swearing. He could have stood up for Jesus at the crucifixion, but he didn't. He said, I don't even know the guy. But Simon says, I'll bear his cross. What's your choice today? What's your choice today? And I've been in a lot of them situations, maybe all of them. So it's something we have to make a decision to stay in the right course. Okay, next slide. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then when we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and will meet the Lord in the air, and so ever shall we be with the Lord. If you choose yes, you'll be with the Lord. I'm going to put forever there. Then in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. You know, Janine and Curtis and I went to a lot of pretty things. The kids and us went to Hawaii, and there's a lot of pretty sights. Niagara Falls is beautiful. There's just lots of pretty things. But can you imagine with what things that materials, let's say, that God has at his disposal, can you imagine what a mansion he can prepare? If he can take clay and breathe into it and make a man, what do you think he can make for a mansion? All I can say, it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be unbelievable what God can make. And he's made one, and he's reserved it for you. All you have to do is say yes. Obey the plan of salvation and live righteously. That's what he's got waiting for us. How many of you parents have talked to your children and said, I'm waiting for you to get your chores done. I'm waiting for you to clean up your room. I'm waiting for whatever. I'm waiting. Let's go. God is waiting on you to learn his word. If anyone don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. We need to learn his word. If you haven't accepted the plan of salvation, that's critical. If you don't, you're on this side. God expects you to grow. We read about a fig tree. Maybe it wasn't a fig tree. We read about a tree and it wasn't having fruit. We have to grow. We have to produce fruit. We have to teach others. If you don't know enough, how can you teach them? We have to grow. We have to lead others to Christ. And it's not that hard. We've got some little boys here that are inviting people to church. Hey, big boys, invite people to church. Do things for them. Goodness will do that. This is our final slide, so I'm wanting a decision to be made soon. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. What are we supposed to do? That's what we're supposed to do. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's the correct answer. That's what it takes. If you have done this and you fell back into the world, an old saying we used to say long is don't feel like the Lone Ranger, because most of us have done that. We started out walking as a Christian and got sidetracked. We go back in the gutter. And so my prayer today is if you have done something that you feel like that you're not going to reach this mansion for you in heaven, we can take care of that. In Luke 15 and 18 says, I will arise and go to my Father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. In James 5, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's all it takes, is just pray for to be forgiven and you're back over here where you're supposed to be. That is simple. It is simple. The problem is you have to make the decision to do it. You alone.